Matt Ebert is the founder and CEO of Crash Champions. They are the third largest multi-shop collision repair operation in the United States. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, George. Excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure thing. Personal life, I'm really lucky and blessed to have a great family. Shout out to my wife, I guess. She handles everything really on the home front that allows me to do what I do. Two kids, boy and girl, that are 5 and 8. So they're at that exciting age where they still think I'm awesome and they just want to have fun all the time. So it's great there. As you mentioned, in the collision repair industry, which I literally got into by accident when I was 16 and wrecked my car, and it's turned into a great career for me as a company. Now we're the third largest, as you mentioned, with 650 locations across the U.S., and we've done some exciting things in the growth of the company. We set an industry record, really. As we grew, biggest chunk of that growth coming in a 4-year period where we went from 13 locations to over 600. So it's been an exciting growth of the company.
No kidding. All right. So you get in a car accident. You're like, this is great. I want to do this all the time.
Yeah, you know, I always say that we're not anybody that you want to ever know until you need us, and then you wish you did. And the great thing is we're able to help people in a time of need, even though they never wanted to know a body shop. And we think it's our job to be as transparent as we can, communicate the process well, fix cars really well so that people have a trusted source that they can go to. Because in reality, you know, the odds are that someone you know, someone you love, or yourself is going to have an accident one day, and you're going to want to go to someone that you can count on, someone you can trust. And so we play an important role in the kind of lives of people, even though they hope we never have to. There's a lot of vehicles on the road, though, and those vehicles mean a lot of things to people. Most of the time, it's getting them around to things like work, school, et cetera. So COVID really taught me, you know, just how important we are. We were one of those industries that was considered a necessary business to keep operating. And so, you know, it just shows how important we are for people to be able to get around. And even when you think about commercial vehicles that deliver packages or come to different places to do service work, like all those vehicles we help keep on the road.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think we've all experienced car trouble at some point, and that is not a happy place, and we just want to not have our car be in trouble anymore. And in the transparency thing, I think that certainly it's probably the frustration that everybody has experienced at some point dealing with automotive issues. If it's going to a car lot to buy a car, always felt like that's not the most transparent process. And when there's a problem with your car that I don't know anything about, I don't want to feel like I'm getting screwed over, for lack of a better term. So transparency strikes me, it's probably really one of the main reasons that you've been growing so much as you have.
Yeah, we definitely want to take that in mind. For us, it's an everyday thing. And so what we always have to remember is this is a once in maybe 10 to 15 year event for the customer. So we have to remember to walk them through what it's going to be like, set the right expectations. And, you know, the thing about today's cars is they're getting so complicated. So it's amazing the amount of electronics in today's vehicles and how difficult it's really getting. Some of the stats on it, I mean, when you think about compared to like a 787 Dreamliner, I think there's like 14 million lines of code in that aircraft. Today's vehicles have about 150 lines of code. You know, there's a 3,000 microchips, 150, you know, might be 100 computers on board to make the thing operate. So it's pretty wild when I think back to what cars used to be like to the last 4 or 5 years, how much electronics have advanced the vehicles. And that really makes us have a real need to be on our game for what keeping up with the cars and what they need when they get repaired today.
No kidding. That's wild. Thousands of microchips in every vehicle.
Yeah, I sometimes ask, I don't know who's asking for all this stuff, because I get in my car and I don't even know how half of it works. So they keep advancing them. Evidently, there's a demand somewhere, but I honestly do ask, who's asking for a car to do all this stuff?
There's another podcast right there for sure, because I've also experienced that same feeling, Matt. So, but that's job security in a lot of ways, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a good thing for the industry, because it's given us a little bit of opportunity to attract a different type of worker. You know, it's a blue collar industry with certain stereotypes, probably, where past decades we haven't done a great job of being appealing as an industry for a workforce. And now it's kind of driven to the point to where today there's a real need. There's a real shortage as an industry in people. And that's one of the reasons I like to do these podcasts, is to talk about what a great opportunity there is in the collision repair business, because there's a huge need. A lot of technicians are older. We're said to lose a bunch to retirement over the next 10 years as the baby boomers are at that age of retiring. So there's a need of about 100,000 technicians or more over the next 10 years, which is a tremendous number. There's about 180,000 in the industry in the U.S. today. So it's about 60%. Kind of a need compared to where we are today. So it's been something to talk about, because I think the industry is a better career for people than they might think. You know, our average technician makes over $100,000 a year. And so it pays pretty well in comparison to some careers that you have to go and get a 4-year degree in order to participate in, and sometimes start making far less. So it's something we want to voice, because there's a real need and it's a real opportunity. And I guess to circle back to what started this part of the conversation, you know, all that technology on the car kind of broadens the audience, I think, for those who might be attracted to this industry, because it's not as much of a dirty job all-encompassing as people might have thought in the past. There's a lot of electronics to it nowadays.
Yeah, I've got an image in my mind of somebody in coveralls or some kind of a blue jumpsuit rolling under an automobile on some kind of a board with wheels on it, and then coming out when somebody comes to see them and they're covered in grease. But that's probably,
yeah, that's the scene you see in
today.
The movies all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that, and it's really an art to restore a vehicle after it's been in an accident to what it was before. And so a lot of credit to our technicians that do it, but it's exciting. There's a lot of satisfaction in it too, when you're able to see something that came in and look like a wreck, and then be able to return it to the customer looking like it never happened. It's a lot of satisfaction in the work we do too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Anybody who's ever mowed a lawn can certainly appreciate that, or just completed a project. And it's not every day that I certainly don't have the opportunity in what I do to necessarily look at something coming in that's broken, and then I get to fix it and turn it back around in a relatively short amount of time. So I see immense value in that. What kind of training do I need to enter the field?
Yeah, sure. So we have an apprentice program in-house, so you can come in without any training, really, and we'll train you from scratch. We also work with trade schools across the country, but From a technician standpoint, our apprentice program will get somebody in a year and a half to where they can stand on their own, and it's probably about a 2 to 3 year time frame, depending on how fast of a learner you are before you get really good and get everything down. But in a year and a half to 2 years, we'll get you there just from our own apprentice program, and you get paid while you learn. Don't have to pay to go to school, so it's a pretty good opportunity. And then is a tremendous amount of administrative work and management work and leadership work that is needed too. For our company, for example, we have 11,000 employees, so there's a lot. 50% of them are not touching the cars. There's that much work to do as far as customer service and back office things to support it. So there's also an apprentice program for our service advisors, which write the estimates for the customers and our insurance partners. And that apprentice program, we get somebody trained in 6 months to be able to do that job. So that speaks to, I guess, cannot know anything and we can get you there.
Appreciate that. So you talked about a 4-year period where you went from 13 locations to 600. I'd love to hear about that. And was this apprentice program in advance of that? Was that midway through? You're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get enough people to staff these locations? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's in the midst of it. I would say that we were behind in doing it because when you're small, you're not going to be able. You're training a couple people because that's all the size of the company that you are. And then we grew really fast. A lot of it through acquisition. So this is kind of a program that we're a little bit behind on. Not by much because we were much smaller just 4 years ago. So we're a couple years behind where we'd like to be in it. But it's a big part of what we see as fulfilling the future need of the company. And glad to have it and proud of the young people that we have in the program. The other thing too, women that are coming into the industry are really good at it in both touching the cars and in the administrative and management parts of it, which is a great thing for us. We'd love to have more of them, and we have initiatives, women from Crash, for example, where they support each other, encourage each other, because it's an industry. I think it's one that's not that appealing to women, but the ones that do get interested are pretty good at it. So we'd love to get more women interested too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. It is a fascinating thing why we human beings are attracted to certain things and certain industries. Are we more people focused? Are we more object or thing focused? So it's always fascinating. So are you seeing more women come in?
Definitely. Because it's been a focus of ours, and because I think of the industry really transforming from what it might have been, say 20, 30 years ago. One of the biggest challenges beyond fixing the cars when you scale a company this fast is really the leadership component of it, because most of the time, where we know how to fix cars, we know how to take care of customers, but that learning how to manage people is a whole nother skill. And so we've spent a lot of time building up our training programs around that as well, because we know that, you know, for our employees, their experience of working for us is really dependent on that manager in that shop. And so if it's a bad manager in place and you don't like working for him, you're going to think Crash Champions is bad because you don't get to interact with me every day. So we spent a lot of time in training up our leaders on how to do that job, how to lead people, how to communicate, and how to treat our employees and customers well. One mentor taught me, and I love the way he phrased it, you know, you can't have a great customer experience if you don't first have a great employee experience. And I believe that to be true because I've seen it time and time again. Can build a beautiful shop. You can give it all the equipment that it needs. If you put a bad leader in it, it's going to be a bad experience both for the company and the employees. So a lot of our focus with this rapid growth has been growing the people. Now, the exciting thing about that is it's been a great career path for a lot of people because there's always the opportunity to advance and move up. And so it's been the reward that I didn't kind of seek. As you think about growing the company, you're trying to first, you start out small, you're trying to make a living and survive, right? And then you're trying to grow it. But the exciting thing that has been really rewarding for me is to watch the growth in our people as the company has grown and watch them advance both in their abilities and their income levels. And you're really able to change some lives when the company gets a certain size. It's been the reward that I didn't expect. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, 11,000 employees, 650 locations. That's an incredible thing. That's a ton of people that you are employing and giving great careers. So I'm sure that that's really rewarding. And from where you started when you were 16 years old to where you are today, what an incredible journey, and certainly lots of learnings and things you probably didn't expect.
Oh, countless ones, some through the school of hard knocks and some through smart enough to recruit a lot of people around me that are smarter than me. And so that's been a huge part of it, too, is recruiting people that have been there and done that so that I don't have to learn through the school of hard knocks quite so often. It's been all credit to, it's a team effort, nothing I could have done on my own.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And coming back full circle, the idea of transparency and giving people the proper, correct expectations, I think such an important thing, especially when you're trying to get people who maybe have never looked at the career to take a look at it. When you're talking about getting women who maybe have never considered the career to take a look at it, being really clear in what the transparency and what the expectations are, what the opportunity is, and that's probably essential.
Yeah, it is. I think on those lines, it's really attention to detail, which I tend to go really fast too. But you have to slow down and provide the details so that people can really get an understanding of what's happening. And that's something that I continue to work on, even in articulating the vision for the company. I've learned that the details matter. I can say we're going to go build a house, and if I don't tell you exactly what that house looks like, you might think of a mansion, you might think of a one-bedroom small home, you might think of a skyscraper. It's really those details in our conversations that matter, both for me as kind of expressing the vision of the company, to even our shop-level employees communicating with customers. It's those small details. And, you know, really setting the key too is setting the right expectations up front. The problem is all of us want to it's a human nature thing, I think, to want to tell you things as you want to hear them. So for example, you want your car back, you'd love your car back tomorrow, right? And so it may be that it's small and we can get it back to you tomorrow, but it may be it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. And the problem is we don't want to tell you that because we know you're not going to like it. And so it really is, we don't get it perfect, trust me, but it really is the best thing to do is set the right expectation up front. And we try to under promise and over deliver rather than say, oh yeah, we should be able to get this done in a week when it's not going to be possible. That's where disappointment comes in and where hard feelings come in. And so it's just taking that initial expectation and setting the right one that really, can do a lot for improving the customer experience.
Yeah, amen. Expectations are the bedrock of all relationships, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of joke about it. Like, we didn't wreck the car. Like, we're the solution. And we'll do it as quick as we can. And there's some components that are out of our control, like when are the parts available, et cetera. But of course, this goes back to that importance of the vehicle in people's lives that we talked about in the beginning. They just need their car back. Even if they're in a rental, it's not their car. It might be nice, but it's not the comfort level that you have with all of your stuff in place. And so I get the sense of urgency for the people. And that's really what we drive amongst our team, is if we have a greater sense of urgency than the customer, that's how we win.
Well said. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? And for people who are interested in exploring the career opportunity, what should they do?
Yeah, so you can follow me on all the social media channels at Matt Ebert, EBERTCC. And then crashchampions.com is the website for the company. And you can apply, you can learn about and apply for those apprentice programs right online.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Matt your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to crashchampions.com and check out everything that we've been talking about today. And you can look at the internship as well, or rather the apprenticeship program right there online. Follow Matt all over social media, Matt Ebert CC, and I will certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Matt.
Thanks again, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.